Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to another segment of Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. This is the channel where women from all walks of life can stop by, get tools and resources to help them thrive 360 in mind, body, spirit, and finances. I invite you to stay connected, subscribe to this channel, and visit me online at thecindyrand.com. Now for today's segment. Hello, beautiful people. This is Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. So super excited, as usual, to be here today. Welcome you back and welcome the newcomers to the Busy Woman's Cheerleader, Complete Wellness with Cindy. So today we've got an awesome guest. I can't wait to introduce her to you. But in the meantime, you know how we do it. Let's do a little housekeeping. Our quote for today is, don't ever let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. Author unknown. How about that? Preaching to the choir. That's easy to do a lot of times. Please help me welcome Donna Du. Hi, Donna.
Hello, and thank you. So happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. We're so excited to have you. Well, just a little introduction. Donna's journey into the world of entrepreneurship began with her own ventures. When she encountered the roller coaster of challenges and successes that came with building an online business. These personal experiences of Donna's gave her a profound understanding of the unique pressures that business owners face, especially in the digital landscape. Again, help me welcome Donna.
Thank you. Yes.
So, you know, Donna, I always say that things have cause and effect. There's something behind every business, behind every business venture, owner, success or failure. What was the cause and effect? Walk us through that to let us know how you got to where you are with your journey now.
Yeah, good question. So, you know what? Like many entrepreneurs, my journey was not straight and narrow, but windy and twisty. So I'm going to stick to the short version, not to bore anybody along the way. So I originally started my career actually in nursing. I was an ICU nurse for a number of years and then had a family, had kids, and the shift work and everything was just not sitting with me. So changed gears, looked after my kids for a bit, and then I wanted to get back into the workforce, but how and where? And so I've always been one that's very structured. I always like to look at the big picture and divide it up into little pieces. And so I started working with online business owners, helping them in project management. So I'd come in and manage a certain project for them, whether that was a launch of a new, you know, program or service or a book writing or whatever that thing was. But I quickly realized, Cindy, that there were so many entrepreneurs who were looking great on the outside, but the truth is they were drowning inside. They were working 24/7, doing all the things. Some had a team, but weren't really delegating appropriately to them. And they wanted to grow and they wanted to get bigger. But how? They were already at capacity, right? And so I decided from there that I'm going to dive more into operations and really help these business leaders leverage three things: their time, their talent, and their tactics, so that they can grow their business without working 24/7. Because the truth is, most of us left some sort of 9-to-5 or, you know, whatever we were doing in our working world for more, air quotes, freedom.
Yeah? Right.
But we end up being an employee of our own business.
Yes. Yes.
So I want to change that narrative.
Yes, that is awesome. You know, you hear a lot about somebody said not too long ago, are you working your business or working in your business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Is the business working you? And the funny thing, because I too deal a lot with aspiring entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs.
Yep.
The thought is that I want to be my own boss. I want to be my own boss. And it's like, oh my God, bless your heart. You know, I want to be my boss. I want to be my own boss. So immediately kind of dispel that myth. I try to get their mind out of the box of boss, mm-hmm. and into leadership. You don't, yes. want to be a boss. There's a difference between a boss and a leader. There's a difference between a manager, as you mentioned about project management, and a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Be a leader in your business, because for you to grow, you're going to have a team. You're going to have to utilize them and you're going to have to train them.
Yeah.
The other day I mentioned, and it might have been earlier because I've been running around all day chit-chatting, but I made mention of as well, I said, it's kind of funny because a lot of times when people are thinking about starting
a business, they have in their mind that they're going to work less and not have to answer to anybody. They think that it's going to free up time. Now, you expound on that. I've always told people about processes because you have to have boundaries and cutoff times, period. I don't care whether you're working with someone, you're working 9 to 5, 8 to 5, 7 to 3, whatever the case may be, you have a cutoff time. You have to still have a cutoff time with your own business.
Yes.
Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yes, totally agree. And I just want to comment on your, being a boss and being a leader, because I am frequently saying to my clients that I work with, even if they're at the stage where they're solopreneurs, do you think of yourself as a CEO? And many of them say, no, oh no, I'm not a CEO, right? Because in our minds, CEO means we have a board of directors and we have all kinds of VPs underneath us. But I want to go back to the definition of CEO. It's the person who's responsible for the vision and the strategy,
Absolutely.
right? And you, as business leader, that is your responsibility. Nobody else is going to do that except you, right? You can hire a team of 20, you're still responsible for the vision and the strategy. So when we start thinking and acting like the CEO, that's when I notice it starts to make a difference, because we're getting out of that, I'm a boss, I'm an employee, and stepping into that leadership role, right? Now, in terms of your question about, timing, this was a huge issue for me at the beginning when I started my business, no doubt, because I was loving what I was doing. So for me, sure, we want to meet at this time, sure, we can do this. My calendar was wide open, right? And it was great. I didn't mind it. I was enjoying what I was doing. But Cindy, my family and friends were not, right? Mom, when are you going to be done? Oh, just one more email. Mom, can you make it to my baseball game this week? Maybe you haven't been in so long. And when you start hearing those things, that's when you're feeling that guilt. And rightly so, you should feel guilty because you've given up the life that you created to have this business. Now, no, it's got to be life first and then your business, right? So to do that, we start with a blank calendar and we're going to build what our ideal calendar looks like in the season of life that we're in right now. I have teenagers and young adults. That's very different from having 5-year-olds at home, right? Very different from having, an aging parent who you might be looking after. So take, the season of life that you're in into perspective when you're making this model calendar. So the first thing we do is block off time for ourselves. So we have a blank calendar and we're blocking off time for ourselves. Because if we don't do that, it won't happen. So if you're like, oh, I love to have a morning routine, or I like to go out for my walk, or I like to just sit quietly with my coffee, whatever that is, put that in there. I like a massage once a month, put it in your calendar, right? I visit Aunt Sally on Thursday evening, put it in your calendar. So we've built those things into our calendar first. Then we're going to put in the hours when our business is open. Whether it's online or not, we have set hours when we're open. And the reason for that is because our clients and our team and ourselves need to know when we need to be in front of the laptop and available. That might be 9 to 3. That might be noon to 7. Whatever that looks like for you in your stage of life, that might be broken up into some morning hours and some afternoon hours, whatever that is. But block off that time when you're open. Does that mean you can't look at your laptop outside of those hours? Of course, you get to choose that, right? But you should not feel forced to have to. You need time when you close it and you're not thinking about it and you're not in it, right? And then we go a little step further, and within those hours that we're open, now we're blocking off not every little task, but the major things that have to get done. So we should have a system for marketing, we should have a system for sales, and we should have a system for delivery on the promise that we made our clients when they bought. And so having each of those systems and having some time on our calendar to do what we're responsible for in that system. So let me give you an example here. This podcast right now, I'm a guest on. Cindy didn't do every little step to get us here. She has a calendar, which I can book in. I didn't have to phone her or email her and say, oh, Tuesday at 2, does that work? No. How about Thursday at 3? No, we automate it with a calendar, right? I can see Cindy's openings. I can see my openings and find a match. Somebody might be editing this afterwards. It shouldn't be Cindy. Someone's going to make some social media posts and maybe an email so we can get this out to the world. That doesn't need to be Cindy, right? But Cindy needs to show up today and she needs to speak because it's her brand and her business and her podcast. So as you think about different systems that happen in your business, you want to think about, what do I as business leader have to do? And what other pieces can I delegate and automate?
Those processes are foundational. I can't say that enough. And sometimes I'm probably sounding like a broken record when I say that to teams, but I can't stress enough, even if you are not formally in business, you're just, you know, kind of side hustle, or you haven't decided if you want to quit your 9-to-5 and do this, but you make dresses on the weekend and you sell them once a month, whatever the case may be. Cookies, you know, I love sweets. Yeah. So the gist of it is, regardless, you need to write it out. Write out your processes, where you are and where you would like to be. And always, and I can't stress that enough either, put in your plans when you grow. Because if you don't believe in what you're doing, how do you expect anybody else to believe in what you're doing? Put in your plans. How do you grow? What happens next? You know, let's just say you get $1 million contract. How are you going to maneuver that? Like you just used me as the example. One person can't do that. You need to have some type of written out process, which is a goal, is a plan that is written out, because when you need to go back to that goal and plan list, you're checking off all of your milestones, checking off all of your accomplishments, maybe tweaking some of your failures. Mm-hmm. But you've already emptied your brain with the what if this happens. And the what if that happens, how am I going to address it? I think every business owner or CEO or person of authority should always factor in exponential growth, unexpected growth, because something can happen in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
In an instant, it can work, you know, in your favor, hopefully, or not in your favor. But you should also always have some type of succession or plan for growth.
Yeah, 100% agree. Because when we look at businesses that, you know, fail or have a hard time, a lot of times it's because they were busy doing and they didn't have that plan. And then growth happened and they don't have the foundation and the structure to be able to then deliver,
absolutely,
you know, on that, right? So, so important. And something you touched on that I think is really important, Cindy, is you said, empty your brain of that, right? You know, when we have to make so many decisions each and every day for our personal life and our business, it can be exhausting.
Very.
Right? And decision fatigue is a real thing. I mean, take the late Steve Jobs. That man wore jeans and his black shirt because his morning routine was down pat. He didn't want to waste any time trying to figure out which outfit he was going. He had much bigger decisions and much bigger actions to do that day than, you know, fussing with his outfit, right? So we have to try as much as we can to empty our brains of those decisions, get it down, get a plan so that you don't have to keep ruminating it and keep thinking about it.
Absolutely. You gave us like a roadmap. I always call it a GPS.
Yeah.
I deal with a lot of people that have to reset or realign their goals for the stage that they're in their lives. And when you kind of gave like that little outline of like a roadmap of what to do, what would you say a CEO needs to put daily, weekly, monthly? What is that I can't take it off my schedule type of thing? What would be, let's just say, the top two that you may think or say that a person in authority, CEO in this case, would always need to leave on their calendar?
Good question. So something I believe in strongly is what I call CEO Power Hour. And this is really taking 1 hour once a week. It doesn't matter whether it's Monday morning, Friday afternoon, Sunday night, whatever time works for you. But the point is, you want to make it a habit. And so you want it to be the same time each and every week. And you want to consider it non-negotiable, meaning nothing else takes that time away unless, you know, there's a life crisis, right? And then what you do during that hour is you're reviewing and you're reflecting and you're setting your top three priorities. Now, notice, listeners, I said three, not five or 10, right? Because we all can do that.
Priorities.
Yes. And so then you're reviewing, where am I in my business, right? What's happening? You're looking at a few top metrics that you are following, because we know what we measure grows. And so what am I looking at? Well, I might be looking at my revenue. I might be looking at, am I getting new people into my world? Right? Am I counting on the number of sales calls I get a month, or how many closes I'm doing, or whatever that looks like for your business, new email subscribers? But you want to be following, are the strategies that I'm doing to get new people into my world working? And how we know that is by measuring. And then we want to reflect on where we are. Okay, you know what? For this month, I'm not going to hit my revenue target that I had. What can I do? I've still got 2 weeks left of this month. Maybe I can reach out individually to a few people who I know were interested before to see how they're doing and see if this is the right time for them. Maybe I can do a flash sale. Maybe I can do, right? Just allowing the brain to come up with, what can I do to sort of boost that revenue? If you're running ads or you're doing some strategy for lead gen and you notice this is not giving me that return on investment, now is the time to be able to reflect and see that. Make tweaks and make changes, right? And then setting up our priorities, that goes back to our goals. So I'm a big believer in setting our 12-month goals, but not stopping there. So we set 12-month goals, and then we do the math to figure out what that looks like for a 90-day goals and what that looks like for a monthly goal. So I'll give an example. It was a goal from mine to guest podcast this year as a way to share my wisdom, get to know new people. And so I wanted to try and do 50 podcast guests for the year. So approximately one a week. So then I'm going to say, okay, how many do I have to do in 90 days? How many do I have to do in 1 month? And because I know, even if I reach out to Cindy to say I'd like to be a guest, it's not always a yes, right? So how many do I actually have to pitch to be able to get the number of yeses that I want? So we're reverse engineering the numbers. So now we have a clear target. I know I can work with someone on my team, say, I want to be able to pitch this many people each month to be on podcasts, right? Sure. Sometimes we may reach it. Sometimes we may be a little bit low, but we've got a goal and a plan that's bite-sized and manageable.
And that's, right? That's the key word, bite-sized, realistic goals, bite-sized. I mean, it's okay to dream way out into the great wide yonder. But as you said earlier, and I do that, that's the thing with me, with my analytical brain, I'll break it down into bite sizes. But I see the big picture, but you've got to fine tune it and break it down into attainable areas, attainable spots, so that you're not overwhelmed looking out at the great wide yonder. Instead of, okay, this week I did this. This month, I need to accomplish that. And so what if you don't get it done that day? Unless it's one of those non-negotiables, add it on to the next day and keep plugging at it. Just ask.
Yes. Yes, 100%, right? One step closer is 1% better. Exactly. And 1%, right? Exactly. And I think so many of us fail sometimes at meeting our goals. And then we say, well, goal setting doesn't work because... But we didn't break it down, right? If I want to put out a new offer or a new program to the world, there's a lot of steps I have to do. I have to be clear on what my offer is, what my messaging is. I need a sales page. I need emails or a webinar, whatever way I'm going to sell this thing, right? That doesn't happen overnight. And so I can ruminate for a long time about getting this new offer out into the world. But until I break it down into the actual steps and spend some time on those steps, I'm not making any progress.
Right. That is absolutely correct. So you made mention of like the delegations.
Yeah.
How does an entrepreneur, CEO, whomever it may be, how do they know what to delegate and what to retain?
Mm, Yes, good question. So what we want to do here is we want to break the tasks that happen in the business. So all things happen in the business into two buckets. Only two? Yes, only two. So it's growth tasks and maintenance. So maintenance are things like your bookkeeping, your invoicing, changing something on a landing page, social media posts, email sequences, those things that need to happen frequently and usually on a routine basis, but aren't necessarily bringing you an exact return on investment. The growth level tasks, that's where you as business owner want to be spending most of your time. And growth level tasks are things like getting in front of new audiences, networking, JV partnerships, sales, if that's something you're still doing within your business, one-to-many offerings and programs, right? Those are things that you're not going to delegate to a team member. And those are things that actually move the needle forward in your business. You can see a direct tie to revenue when you do those things. And if we think about big businesses, that's where the CEO is. That's where they're spending their time, right? They're going to talk PR on the TV or over here. They're making connections. They're building relationships. They're not fixing the Canva image.
Right.
Right. And I'm not saying that in a mean way, and I don't want to sound that way, but we all can get pulled into the weeds.
Yes.
Something, you know, that doesn't. And I remember clearly this once, Cindy, I was working with a client who was very creative and very much enjoyed making those images and doing those things. And she was like, but why are you taking that away? I'm not taking it away, but we have to look at what's your hourly rate. Well, it's X amount. Okay, so if you're working for 3 hours, you know, designing something creatively because you enjoy it, that's costing your business 3 times your hourly rate, right? Whereas if we hired a virtual assistant to do that for you, that's a much lower rate per hour. And you now have those 3 hours to do the work that you need to do in your business, right? So save that creative time. Put a few hours on your calendar if you want to be able to do it off, off grid, but that can't be the priority.
That's awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So then in terms of delegating, we want to look at those maintenance tasks, right? What can we automate? What can we delegate? For people who don't have a team yet, there's still a lot you can get off your plate by using the software tools that you have available to you.
The automation is kind of weird. It's scary at the same time, but a lot of it is efficient. It is efficient. What is your take on not becoming complacent? Let's just say I'm going to give you a scenario.
Yeah.
For example, this CEO at this point has amassed, you know, their goals. I'm just going to say millions. That's the popular term these days. Yeah. They've amassed millions in their business. You know, they're at a point where the business is working and they're not having to work the business as much. They're overseeing. Mm-hmm. But they've become complacent. And so they're still unhappy. So what would be your suggestion to not becoming complacent, even at the pivotal points of height in your careers or your businesses?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think a couple of things. I always encourage clients to have what I call a passion project. So this is something outside of the business, but something that they believe in and something they really want to do. So whether that's starting a charity, getting more involved in their community or in their church, or, you know, those types of things where it's going to take some of their time, but it's something they very much enjoy and it's outside of their business. The reason for this is it helps you turn off your brain, right? It helps you step away and turn away from the activities of your business, because sometimes what can happen is we'll end up breaking something that's not broken because we think we need to keep doing and we need to keep fixing, right? If we've got something and it's running smoothly and it's working, we have to put our energy in other places, right? So that's one piece of it. I think the other piece is not forgetting to be looking ahead and really working on that vision, because especially in this online space, things change quickly, right? The way we were selling and the way you were marketing 5 years ago is not going to produce the same results now. And so as business leader, that's something you have to stay on top of, right? What I'm doing, is that working? And then is that going to continue working to get me where I want to go?
Absolutely. Yeah. That makes a whole lot of sense. Oftentimes that's where you find yourself when you said that, I giggle, because that was exactly, all these years, I've been an accountant for almost 30 years. And I tell people this, you just don't seem like the type that work behind the wall with your personality. It's like, oh, I had a personality before I went behind the wall. It's just, you know, I did a lot from behind the wall. That had become my comfort zone, because you're pushing out results. We, you know, help people get started with businesses, scale and grow businesses. And then I'm looking from the other side of the wall like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, and the thing is that people did not realize, I always said that this is my profession. As an accountant, yes, that's my profession. But my passion is helping people. So yes, my passion had to be turned into a nonprofit organization. You know, we celebrated our 13th anniversary over the weekend, because it's been 13 years. Now, mind you, I've always had a life of servitude. I've been serving. It's like, it was the strangest thing for me. It's like, why do I get so excited when I'm helping people? I think I'm more excited than they are. You know, I'm so excited. It really makes me feel like I'm at my best when I'm helping people. I could not like quite pin, as they would say, why that was so fulfilling to me. But as I continue to walk out my journey, I realize why. That's a part of my purpose. That's why it felt like that sweet spot for me. So when I begin to transition and say, okay, I'm at a different stage in life, you know, I'm getting older now, what do I do? Well, okay, I'm going to retire the accounting, and I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. I'm going to work with the women. I'm going to work with the nonprofit, and I'm going to really, you know, focus 1,000% of my time instead of 85% over there. That didn't happen, because all of the parts of our journey, it matters. It all matters. It may seem minute, just like when we were in high school and they're teaching us algebra. And it's like, oh my God, I mean, how am I going to use this?
Yes.
How is it relevant to anything that I could ever think of I'm going to do with my life? But then as you begin to walk out your life and your journey, you realize that you're doing algebra every day. It was just, the presentation was a little odd because it was with letters and numbers, but it's actually the same thing when you're having to divide ratios, when you're having to say, okay, I have X amount of apples and then I took away 4 amount of apples. You just change the
format,
you know, you just change the format, same thing, same bottom line answer. And so that's why, you know, it's like, there's always room to grow. And sometimes people become so complacent, not just people that don't have their goals met and are not really seeking after anything, which is sad and unfortunate. But everybody at some point, if you're not careful, you'll slip into stagnation, which is complacency. And complacency does breed failure if you don't snap out of it.
Yes, so true, so true. And I think that's why having mentors, right, and being surrounded by people who are ahead of us helps us in that journey, right? Because we're staying connected to where we can go, what the possibilities are.
This is awesome.
Right? That's
awesome. So tell us what's next for you. What are you doing?
Yeah. So this fall, I'm very excited. I'm going to be opening up a membership for my audience, which is really helping them to, what I like to say is, banish the busy work. And so it's really helping business leaders come in and figure out, what are my actual goals? If I don't have systems already in my business, how do I set those up? And how do I take things off my plate so that I can actually breathe again and enjoy the life that I want, right? And so working less and gaining more profit really is the transformation there. So really excited to bring that into the world this fall. So yeah.
I wish you the best with that. I'm sure you will do well, very well.
Thank you.
Very well. So, you know, the thing is, we'll put that information down inside of the description so that people have that. I have enjoyed talking to you so much.
Yeah.
Contact, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you again for tuning in to Complete Wellness with Cindy, the Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Follow me on social media at Busy Woman's Cheerleader. Remember, together we write our stories, share our journeys, create memories, and leave our marks in history. Until next time, peace, blessings, and joy be multiplied to you. Ta-ta.